right, so before we get into any of my story or anything, I just want to take a moment to get our hearts right with God. Because you know when you just don't feel right with God, and it allows for all sorts of distractions and different things. You'll be getting up, socializing, doing whatever, but let's stay focused on God and just see if he can speak a word to any of us today. So I know a lot of us walked in here with so many different problems and struggles, and just not sickness, but you know, work related or school related, family related, friends related. Let's just give it all up to God and see what he has in store for us today. All right, would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, my healer. I pray that my words are in your will and that you open the ears and hearts of anyone that's willing to listen. I pray you forgive us for all the times that we mess up and walk away from you. We don't deserve your mercy or your grace, but yet you continue to shower us with your love. So we love you and we thank you for all your blessings and even the trials. So may we all grow closer to you today. Amen. All right, so you kind of heard a little bit of my background of cancer and everything, but I'll start with what I heard about it all. Like, this is the first thing that registered with me. It was June 22nd, 2011. It was just a random, like, Thursday or something. And I just had surgery to remove a mass from my back, like my upper back. And we were waiting for the diagnosis for this, seemed like forever. And it was really only a week, but the doctor walked in and he's like, Jessica, we found out what the diagnosis was for the mass that was growing in your upper back. So we're like, okay, sit down, tell us, like, what is it? And he's like, you have what's called a primitive neuroectodermal tumor. Thinking, what is that? It's called PNET for short, so PNET. And it's a rare pediatric tumor that usually only occurs in people 25 years old and under. He said, but yours is even more rare in that a PNET tumor is usually a brain tumor that's located in the base of the brain, but yours is in your upper back, like your neck. And if your case couldn't get any more rare, the tumor has spread down your entire spinal cord. So that's why I haven't been able to really walk, because it's pressing up against my nerves on my back, and so I can't really walk at all, really, but it's getting there. So anyway. So he went on to say, he's just talking, and you know, the treatments for this type of tumor are radiation and chemo over the next year, and but don't worry, because we have the best doctors ever, and they worked at St. Jude's, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, wait, I have cancer? Like, are you serious? And everything else he said from that point on, I have no idea what he said. But, yeah, that was crazy. Like, somebody just come in and just tell you, you know, you have cancer. And I was just thinking, like, you know, there's no way this could be happening to me. Like, you hear about it happening to other people and you feel bad for them. You're like, oh, that, you know, that stinks that happened to you. But, you know, I never thought it would happen to me in a million years. Especially so young. Like, I think, like he said, he was talking about cancer treatments for a year. Like, no, I have to go to school. I go to Bowling Green, which is like near Toledo. And I will be starting my third year this fall. I would have started my third year this fall. And I'm an accounting and finance major. And for anyone who knows me, I'm like a nerd and I like love school. I'm like one of the few people who actually enjoy school and learning. But, you know, I'm like, nah, I have to go to school. Like, I can't just be sitting around doing nothing for a year. And, like, oh, and I have to get chemo was the worst part. Like, because you know, you hear stories like you're going to lose your hair with chemo. And, you know, I liked my hair. Like, It was in a lot of ways, it made me who I was, which is not a good thing, but, you know, because people would always come up and tell me, you know, like, girl, never cut your hair, you know, you have nice long hair, but, so that, knowing that I was going to have to lose my hair was pretty hard, but once I learned later on that hair is not that all that important. And I never thought I'd be a wig person, but I bought this wig, so. So anyway, I can honestly say that I don't know where I would be right now if it wasn't for my family. And it's not just, you know, my immediate family, like my mom and dad and my sister, but my extended family, my church family, my friends. You know, family doesn't have to be just people you're related to. It can be, you know, your work family. It could be anybody. So since the theme of this Youth Sunday is taking more of a family approach, I thought I'd just kind of speak on how God has, you know, worked in my life through this and my family's life, which is everyone in this room pretty much, so. All right, so let's take a road trip. Where do you guys want to go?
Pittsburgh!
All right. All right, so I guess we're going to Pittsburgh. So imagine this, we're on our way to Pittsburgh, and we have our car gassed up, we're ready to go, we have our GPS, we have extra clothes packed, we have extra food and water, everything is set to go, the weather is amazing, we start out on this trip. To get to our destination to Pittsburgh. And we're rolling along, and we even found gas that only costs $1 a gallon, so we're doing good. So yeah, we're doing good, you know, everything is good, God is good, we're all good. And then bam, we hit this pothole in the road. And it's definitely looking like a flat tire. So, but luckily we're able to drive the car off the exit, and this exit happens to be called Radiation. So this is our first stop in our trip to Pittsburgh. All right, so I'm just gonna kinda, before we address Radiation, I'm just gonna explain to you how everything in my life before we hit this pothole was pretty smooth sailing. Thank God. You know, I was always in church. I always got straight A's. Followed all the rules. Rarely got in trouble for anything. I was scared to get in trouble, mostly. My parents are crazy. But, you know, I had good friends, good family. I played basketball in high school and went off to college and had all these major plans for my life, and everything just seemed to be going too smoothly. And then we hit this pothole in the road, and I want to call this first one Radiation. So what radiation is like? Radiation, I've used this in the first service. You guys heard of planking? Yeah, y'all know what planking is? Yeah, it's like you lay on your stomach and different places you put pictures on Facebook of where you planked, and yes, so that's what they basically had me do for 24 days straight. I had to lay on my stomach, and like a big x-ray / laser beam kind of changed the DNA of the cancer cells. So Jada and Kiana are kind of showing you over here, but I had to do this every day, and that's the mask I had to wear. They had to, and they put it over you, and they lock you in, and so I was like that for maybe 30 to 45 minutes a day. And I thought that was hard, but, you know, the side effects from radiation are, I got puffiness in my cheeks. I don't know if, well, I feel like my cheeks got like huge, but people don't think so, but I think they got huge. Cheerier, okay. I actually lost my hair from radiation, not even from chemo, because they were doing a full brain and spine radiation. So I got these scars and burns on my face. If you get close to me, you'll see, like, got a whole bunch of like scars and burns. Let's see. I lost the, well, from the surgery, I know I lost the ability to walk, which means I can't drive, which, you know, is terrible for anybody. I mean, if who's had the ability to drive and to be able to get around on your own, you know, just to have independence and, you know, it was the worst to have your independence taken away. Let's see, over the summer, while I was going through radiation, I was stuck with my parents all summer. And they were like super over supportive, and I'm just like, leave me alone. Like, I'm trying to live my life, as much life as I have left. But I couldn't go to cookouts, I couldn't go to parties with my friends, I couldn't go to Cedar Point. So, and ironically, I was stuck in the hospital for 40 days and 40 nights. So it was a rough summer. But you know, a lot of us have a lot of potholes in our life that we go through. We all go through our potholes, and I would, you know, take some time to think about, like, what are some of your potholes that you're going through in life? I mean, there's so many of them. There's, for teens, I know there's school right now. You know, you know, you're not doing well in school, acting up in school, getting in a lot of trouble. I mean, of course, you have the issues like sex and pregnancy, drugs, going to jail. We all have our problems. So my initial reaction to this was anger. Like, I was so angry that this could be happening to me. Like, I couldn't believe it. But and I've realized that it's okay to be angry, just don't stay in that place for too long, you know? So for all these angry people walking around here, don't stay there too long. But all right, but we gotta get back on the road to Pittsburgh, right? So we're back in the car, we fixed our flat tire, and we passed the first hurdle. And you know, we think everything is okay. We were more energized and ready to go and, you know, to get back on the road. But then our car starts slowing down, you know? And we realize we were just ran out of gas. And unlike radiation, where one person can really get out, excuse me, and change the tire, you know, we're all going to have to get out and push the car to this next exit called chemotherapy. All right, so y'all thought radiation was hard. Chemo is definitely harder. I realized for chemo that I needed my family the most. Through chemo. It's what chemo is basically. It's, well, for me, I know it's different for people who have had all different types of cancers, but for the tumor that I have, I'm in the hospital for 3 to 4 days out of a month, each month, so for 6 months, six cycles, they call them. And, you know, they do a chemo bag a day. And it's not very fun. You have to stay in the hospital. And plus, I'm on a floor, with a pediatric floor, with a whole bunch of kids, and they're all screaming and crying, and it's like, So yeah, you just lay in the hospital bed. They try to make you feel better, but you don't. And it's like, you just don't feel good. You don't want to be there. And they make you go to the bathroom so much because they try to like hydrate you, and you're like sick of having to get up and go to the bathroom. And luckily though, I've just finished my third treatment, and out of my six, so I have three more left. some side effects from chemo. Definitely nausea. I know you guys heard a lot about that. Loss of appetite. I was telling the first service, like, I don't think I've eaten in like 5 or 6 days because I just got out the hospital yesterday. So that's been hard, losing my appetite, because eating is like fun to me. So not being able to like pass, you know, or even watching like commercials on TV about KFC, like it just looks disgusting to me. It's weird. But you lose your hair. It just leaves you really drained and weak and tired. And it's like a tired, like not like you're tired, like sleepy. It's like tired, like you can't explain it tired. And I think the worst part is the emotional impact it has on you. Just because you can't do, I don't know, it just does something weird to your emotions. Like, you don't want to be going through this, you know? And it really takes a lot of visitors and a lot of calls. And sometimes you don't want all the calls and all the visits, but you just want to, like, sleep. But it takes a lot of, you know, extra help to get me through those times, like today. All right, so that's chemo. So now we're back on the road again. All right, we're trying to get to Pittsburgh here. And we have to make one last stop, and it's called the unexpected. As you guys know, I'm still going through chemo now, and I really don't know nobody knows what's gonna happen to them in the future. So I don't know what my final prognosis would be. I don't know. I mean, any of us could walk out of here today and, you know, have a mishap. But all I know, what I've learned through this is that God is really, truly the only person who can heal me and who, you know, has my back through it all. Because I remember there was a point when I first went into surgery. I've never had surgery. I never had any type of surgery of any kind before this. And I remember, like, you know, the doctors take you back and they let your family only come a certain way. And then you have to go back, you know, by yourself so they can prep you and put the anesthesia in. And I just remember feeling like, oh my gosh, like, this is terrible. Like, who do I rely on now? I've really learned that you have to rely on God, because there's nobody else who can help you. Yeah. Yeah, like, I definitely can't heal myself. I can't even walk. My family, as much as they wish they could, they can't heal me. They can't, you know, save me from this. And the doctors, they can't even do it. They could just administer the drugs and the medicine, what they think they know is best. But, you know, it's only God who heals, and that's the biggest thing I've learned throughout this whole experience. And another thing is just appreciate people in your life. I was always cool with my family and stuff, but we weren't necessarily, like, best of friends and close. I didn't appreciate them. Like, when my cousins would come over, like Anna and Jada, I'd ignore them and do something else, but... I just learned that life is so short, and not to be focused on stuff that's not even important. Like you know, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and everything, and what my friends are talking about. I have great friends, but like what people in like my school community are talking about, it's like that's not even important. Like somebody stole my hairbrush. Like, okay, come on now, let's be friends here, you know? And, you know, appreciate the people that's, you know, in your life. Don't worry about people who aren't in your life. I mean, pray for them, but appreciate the people who are willing to be in your life and are helping you, you know, it takes family, it takes more than yourself, and it definitely takes God. So that's pretty much what I had to say, but I have a couple thank yous I wanted to give out. Let's see. Oh, and before, this is my disclaimer. My Auntie Gail, I don't know if you guys know her, but she wrote all these thank yous. So, all right, so to my dad, you're a lot of nervous energy and you try to do too much all the time. But when I'm feeling weak, like the other day, I was pretty sure like I almost passed out coming from the hospital. He had to carry me into the house, and you know, you're always the one that I call on, and I can depend on you to be there. To my mom, you are the greatest mom on earth. You know, she retired this last year, so she's home with me all day, every day. I know that it has to be annoying after a while, but. You know, you're a little clumsy sometimes, always falling over the IVs and all this stuff I have to do, but she keeps me going. To Emily, the lousiest sister ever. You never come home to visit me. And then when you're here, you always go out with your friends, but it's okay. I'm just kidding. She's kept me normal. You know, everyone tries to treat you like you're different, like you're abnormal, like you're sick, and I hate that feeling. So she always just treated me like I was same old, same Jessica. So all right, to Auntie Gail, how could she write her own thank you? I don't know. This is like all good stuff too. Doesn't treat me like I'm sick. But no, really, she would come every day after work. Whenever I'm in the hospital, she comes and sits with me and brings the girls. And it's boring being in the hospital for so long. So she even cut her hair for me. So. So Felicia, she's from the first service. She's a lay pastor. She's like a sister to me. And she's upstairs. Okay, but she visits me regularly in the hospital and brings me treats. And she's so good to me, even overly good, too upbeat sometimes. But it's okay. To my Aunt Barb. She's quiet, and she doesn't go to this church, but she goes to another church. It's my dad's sister, and but she's always willing to jump in and bring me anything I need. To my grandparents, thank you. I don't know if it's because of me, they came back early, but they came back from Arkansas early this year, and a lot of days I don't feel like eating, but my grandmother's always forcing me to eat food. So, to my Aunt Shannon and Uncle Glenn, thanks for all the visits to the hospital. And to everyone at the church, you have no idea. I never knew how much you guys loved me. And, you know, I love you guys so much. Like, I know that. You know, I would come into church every week and say hi and be gone, but I never realized the love of the church until this happened to me. So I love every single one of you. Thanks for all the cards and all the calls and the visits. I'm supposed to say, except Rufus and Evelyn Reese. And a special shout out to Miss Williams. You're such a loving and caring person. And you call out the house so much, we had to get caller ID to start. But to Karima and Kamaria, you guys spend more time with your grandmother. She's amazing. Some Pastor Toby, thanks for all the stuffed animals, all of them. every single one of the stuffed animals. I think I have more stuffed animals than Toys R Us. But and the pastor, I don't even think he still goes here. I never see him, but yeah, you know, I know they're still praying for me. For Pastor Kelly, for being such a great, she's my cheerleader. So, thank you. Even though she threatened me with pom-poms to speak today, you know, to all my friends in college and just everyone listening on the website, you know, I want to thank everybody. So I can't make it without you guys. So thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Jessica. We don't know what all God has in store for this beautiful young lady, but God is going to use you in a mighty way, Jessica. And we want to pray for Jessica, and we want to pray for anyone here today that you're going through a pothole, you're getting off of an exit that you never thought that you would have to get off on. Relationship, health, finances, there are so many kinds of potholes. But God is able to accomplish what concerns you today. And so we're going to ask for you to come down and be anointed. And we are going to pray. And there's going to be miracles take place in this place this day. But before we pray, let's give God one more praise offering. We love you, Lord Jesus. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the glory.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Yes. Okay.
Praise God. So as we're going to sing this invitational hymn, saints, and we would invite you, the doors of the church are open. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come on up. And we also invite those of you that want to just come up and surround Jessica as we anoint her and pray for her. And we're going to be praying for her healing. But if there's someone else out there, we want you to come on up. For prayer too, our lay pastors, we need you to come on down and help us pray. Our elders, if you could come on down here, but we moved some chairs back because we knew it was going to be a lot of people up here today. Hallelujah. And if you can't make it up, you can just extend a hand and pray with us here up here. Let us pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Gracious God, you are so good. You are so amazing, so awesome, so wonderful, Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for Jessica. We thank you, Lord, for the victory, Lord, that you have already given her. We thank you for her healing, Lord Jesus. As our hands are laying upon her body, Lord, allow you, Lord, your spirit to come right through us into her, Lord, that she may feel your presence, that she may feel your healing touch from the top of her head, Lord Jesus, all the way through her spine and down through her feet, Lord. Allow her to feel your healing, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much for Jessica. We thank you, Lord, that even though she's going on a difficult journey, Lord, she decided to get up out of the bed this morning, Lord, for you, that she will come and make a difference in the lives of other people, Lord Jesus. So help us, Lord, who were hearing her words today as if they were spoken right from you. Help us to take you seriously, Lord Jesus. Help us not to wait, Lord Jesus, and to decide today, Lord, that you are the God of our lives. Gracious God, many are up here today because they need your healing touch right now, Lord. There are many right now with broken relationships. They've hit some potholes in their lives, Lord, and they're struggling with some amazing things right now, Lord Jesus. Some are hurting in their hearts. Families are broken. Someone's dealing with some drugs. Someone's struggling with sexuality. Someone else is struggling with alcohol, Lord. You know all of our needs, Lord Jesus. So we're praying for your healing, not just for Jessica, but for all of us right now. All of us, Lord Jesus, we've all run out of gas and we feel weary, like we just can't get up, and we need our whole families to push us and to help us to go a little bit further, Lord Jesus. Help us to know that you are our Father, you are our mother, you are everything, Lord Jesus, and you are pushing us and helping us along the way, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be all that we can for you. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for what you are doing today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's in the mighty, mighty name, Jesus, that we also, I forgot, Lord, that I want to lift up to all of Justice's family. She said thank you, Lord Jesus, but we say thank you too. We thank you for Katie. We thank you for Walter, Lord Jesus. We thank you for Gail and Shannon. We thank you for John and Johnny Hayes. We thank you for Emily. We thank you for all the aunts and the uncles, every single one, all of the cousins, their entire family, Lord Jesus. We thank you for Felicia. We thank you, Lord, for them surrounding Jessica and being with her, Lord. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to encourage them, to give them the strength that they need, Lord Jesus, to be by Jessica's side. So we thank you again, Lord, for all that you're doing. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray, that the people of God said, amen and amen. Hallelujah, saints.